Greetings, citizens of Earth. You are barking a happy tune with my pal Smurf of Smurf and the Magic Tones on 5280 Geek.
Live from the Figgis Studios, it is Weekend Geek Update. Smurf here, returning to enlighten you in what little news that is breaking in the geek sphere this wonderful week as we close out September. Holy crap. I mean, we're going into the fun months now. October, November, and December. And October's already looking to be a very action-packed month with events, with things going on. Before we get to that, I want to let you know about our sponsor, Suzy Q's, who is a spectacular blacksmith crafting some never-before-seen jewelry that you may want to start considering for Christmas gifts. Believe it or not, there are already people lining up and doing their Christmas shopping with all of the extra time they have on their hands. Give them something unique. Give them something from Suzy Q's. You follow her on Instagram. Her link is in the post. You can go to her website and order directly from her. She is spectacular, and so is her work. Moving forward, I want to follow up on a story because this came in like last week, just at the end of everything. Because this was kind of like a breaking story just as we finished up the podcast last week, and Supergirl calling it quits. I don't know if Supergirl's calling it quits, or if the network has lost faith, or if it's more of like the network is like, okay, we finally got, you know, Big Blue. We don't need Little Blue. So in light of that, Melissa Benoist released a press release, just basically a quick little thing. And this is what it said. To say it has been an honor portraying this iconic character would be a massive understatement. Seeing the incredible impact the show has had on young girls around the world has always left me humbled and speechless. She has had an impact on me, too. She's taught me strength I didn't know I had, to find hope in darkness of places, and that we are stronger when we are united. What she stands for pushes us all to be better. She has changed my life for the better, and forever grateful. I'm so excited that we got to play our conclusion to this amazing journey, and I cannot wait to see what we have in store. I promise we're going to make it a hell of a final season. Melissa Benoist. I have enjoyed the series, and I know I have called it vanilla on more than one occasion, but I do believe that Melissa has portrayed the character unlike anyone else and has been a perfect fit. And to be honest with you, I'm not all keen on the return of Superman to TV just yet. I really am not. And I was perfectly content with him taking a back seat during all of this. I know everyone's been pushing for Batman and Superman to make their appearances in the show. And if you were watching Arrow, you basically got Batman. it really was. Arrow was like the poor man's Batman. I know I've said that multiple times, but it's true. And Superman being just kind of, you know, spoken about or, you know, just like mentioned, his brief appearances have been great. But, you know, the ending of Smallville left just a sour taste in my mouth that I'm like, you know what? I really don't care. I'm not that big of a Superman fan to begin with. I know I lean more towards the Bat than Supes. And that's fine. Everybody's got their lines, right? You know, Stones, Beatles, Superman, Batman. Make your choice. Crunchy, regular. But this I still think is a little premature. Now, maybe it's not, with everything that's going on with the CW, HBO Max, there's no telling how this is going to end. But six seasons for Supergirl does seem a bit premature to me. You have the Justice League just finally being able to be formed, or at least a version of it. You've got everyone's on the same Earth. We're not bouncing back and forth. Black Lightning has been introduced. There is some huge potential for great crossover events, with Flash now being the anchor. But with this announcement, it really does make you wonder and scratch your head. We've yet to see what will happen with Batwoman, with the new lead and Ruby Rose taking her her bow out from the character. But I just, maybe I'm just tired of seeing Superman. I really, you know, as vanilla as it was, Supergirl still was entertaining. There were some great moments, and I really did like her portrayal of the character. And you got John Cryer playing probably the best Lex of all time. I mean, the villainous Lex. Not Smallville Lex, because Rosenbaum did with that character for Smallville, I mean, that carried the show for ages. And we can't, you know, dismiss him as the voice of the Flash. But from a villain standpoint, as far as a Lex Luthor, this is, I mean, Cryer is just on point. I want to just keep him around. Put him on another show. Don't let Cryer go away. Please save John Cryer. But I I think it's premature. And we don't even know how successful Superman is going to be. I still think you need Supergirl to be in place for, like I said, a couple of more seasons. I envisioned it her sustaining and going forward. I did like, you know, her and the Flash meetups. It just, like I said, the chemistry and how Melissa portrayed Supergirl was, in my mind, point spot on. Well done. I am sad to see the show go. But with this, some of these characters absolutely are worth saving. They are worth moving to another series. And of course, that being Legends. Legends is just, their roster is just anemic. They've lost a lot of the staple characters. I think, you know, and the fear of what's going to happen with Constantine. I really think that if some of these characters from Supergirl should find a home between, you know, Legends, maybe whatever's going to happen with the Superman nonsense, and Team Flash could use, you know, a couple boost characters, because, you know, Elongated Man is, he stretched himself too thin. Too soon? Nah, never. Never! What else is going on? It's kind of funny, because There's not a lot, but there still seems like there's these little percolating stuff. And it's funny, because a lot of it also is fan-driven. I know one media outlet totally got suckered in on a fan drawing for Nick Fury. So rumors of Nick Fury's Disney Plus show have already started circulating. Nothing has been set in stone. I investigated it, and, you know, it will it happen? They're saying it will. And to be honest with you, Samuel L. Jackson in a series and an ongoing show would be very entertaining, especially as Nick Fury. And if they do it in kind of like a, you know, spy-esque Winter Soldier type of scenario, I can kind of see it. I'd totally be behind that. I would love to see that happen. But so far, no real, true, solid details have been released in regards to Nick Fury's show. But this one group I know just totally bit on a fan-created poster, and it looked great. Absolutely spectacular. And I almost fell for it, too. And I'm like, no, I can't. That can't be right. So you start investigating. The fan art does portray an impressive Nick Fury for Disney Plus's S.H.I.E.L.D. show. And maybe we'll see some of the characters from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. cross over into the Disney Plus world. I would really love that. And maybe that's why, you know, ABC pulled the plug on it, because that's where it's going. Maybe we'll get Coulson back. I would absolutely be thrilled to see Coulson and Quake return to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and just create a whole new world. And with Sump Town being canceled, which I'm still absolutely mind-boggled over that, why that happened. We can get a few other characters going, because with Stumptown going away, Colby Smothers is so available to do something. She can reprise her role as Agent Hill. Yeah, Agent Hill. It took me a second to like think of it, but Colby was great. Colby. That's a cheese. Colby Smulders. Smulders? Yes. Yeah, sure. You know me in names. But her reprising her role as Agent Hill would be perfect. And with Stumptown, I guess they're supposed to, I shouldn't say it's done. Stumptown is being shopped. We'll see if it ends up somewhere by chance. Maybe. I'm not optimistic because it seems that those midnight hour saves are few and far between, and maybe Netflix would step in. Maybe it would kind of fit in their wheelhouse. It would give them a new series and something that was fun. But the comics are great. If you have a chance, I think most of them are still in print. Yeah, believe it or not, that is based on a comic. So, haha, the things you learn. That's right, we're all about education here. And coffee. And whiskey. And cigars. Wow, we're all about a lot of things here, aren't we? What else is going on? Let's focus on a couple of things going on here in town. First of all, Saturday and Sunday is going to be the All Seas Fan Expo. It is free. Of course, social distancing and all of the necessary precautions have been put in place, but it is free, and it may not be a full-blown Comic-Con, but it's intimate. There's retailers, there's people selling stuff, and to be honest with you, I'm just excited to get out and mingle a little bit, because, you know, you can only look at the cat and talk to them for so long before even they start to think you're crazy. The All Seas Expo is in the link. It's at the, if you're here in Colorado, that is, out at the Doubletree. No, is it? No, I don't think it's Doubletree. It is, I'll tell you. Hold on while I pull it up real quick. It is at the Hilton. Yes. That was right. Doubletree by Hilton, Denver International Airport, 6900 Tower Road in Denver. It's like 5 minutes from the airport. Very easy access. Plenty of parking. And it's free. There is grading services that will be going on. So if you want to bring a particular item to get graded, comics, cards, whatnot, this is the place to do it. And it's fun. Jerry will be there as our artist on the table. Red's busy getting ready for October. She will be with us at Rocky Mountain Con, which is still planned to hit in November. And as we close in on November, I'll be sure to share that with you. But Red and I will be at a table, ready to entertain. And of course, all of her booness. Will be there on display. She's got some new works, and if you haven't been watching her on her YouTube stationary play, please do. She's so talented. She's so clever. She's always got something going on. And I'm sure it's only a matter of time before I'm over there helping her decorate her yard for Halloween. Yeah, can't wait. What else? So speaking of cons, it was very interesting to watch this last weekend, and I didn't talk about it because I wasn't sure what to expect, but Hasbro put on PulseCon, which was a two-day streaming event that by far has been the best virtual event that I have seen so far. The production value, the interaction, the interviews, maybe more produced is like production in studio, but they took their time. It was well thought out. It was well executed, and it was fun. Of course, a lot of it revolved around, you know, some of the new toy lines, things that are coming out. When, of course, you know, the big Star Wars reveals for, you know, the anniversary. I know there's like a 50 years of Star Wars series coming out, and I know Ahsoka's lightsaber is being released, and there were some very cool things. Of course, on the Ghostbuster side, we did see from the, I think it's the Plasma series, a new Ecto. that was being released. Jason Reitman actually had some stuff to talk about. I was a little upset we didn't get a Ghostbusters Afterlife trailer, which was kind of what I was hoping for, but I'm sure Sony's got a firm grip on that, and they don't want anything getting out. And, of course, the G.I. Joe and Transformers stuff that's coming. There were some, you know, it was fun. I was like, you know, it was entertaining. You got a lot of the creatives that you normally wouldn't see behind the toy marketing. And after watching the toys that made us, you know, I've decided we don't, there's no more toy presence. Toys R Us going the way of the dodo. KB Toys pretty much all gone. I mean, if it wasn't for, you know, the Lego stores, there would be no, like, bastion for childhood craziness. I mean, because people frown on you in Target when, you know, you start acting like a fool in the toys department. The thing is, I don't know what the world would look like without action figures, without the toys that made us to get to this point. Because a lot of my childhood and fun, you know, it wasn't always video games. Coleco and Atari and Nintendo weren't always, you know, necessary. Mom would get fed up with us and kick us out. Go outside and play. Okay. And what better things to do than play with than Transformers and G.I. Joe? But I think that's where the big miss in this generation is. They don't know how to play. Unless it comes with a controller. Nope, forget about it. There are some great things coming out for Hasbro. I'm excited to see the new Zartan figure that they highlighted. Of course, the Ecto for the Plasma series for Ghostbusters. I will probably pick it up. I know it's a pre-order only for Target, if I remember seeing if I remember the info correctly from the PulseCon. But it worked. It was great. In fact, I wish that more of the virtual cons would take a page from that. Hasbro means business. These guys are all about the money and presenting a beautiful package. I know that, you know, they're struggling with the Star Wars license, but they've got every other license that you can imagine out there. I mean, they're sitting on so many IPs that it is ridiculous. And the Transformers that they've got coming out, I mean, it was such a wave of nostalgia that hit me that I'm really excited about going into next year. From a collector standpoint, I know the days of buying two, opening one, and keeping one sealed have long since passed me, only because I ran out of space. Otherwise, I'd probably still be doing it. But there are some collector standpoints, because statues get expensive. Toys are still fun. Toys are toys. Open them up. Play with them. That's what they're for. I know that you can go online and search Hasbro PulseCon on YouTube. You can see some of the highlights. Skip over the dialogue back and forth for the interviewers. Some of them are good. Some of them are just better than average, which is good. It was fun. But I applaud you. Well done. Aha. What else is going on? So, I know there's a lot of people that are not sports ball fans. I get that. But South Park decided to take in a game, and I don't know if it was South Park's idea or it was just the management of the Denver Broncos that decided to litter the stadium with cardboard cutouts from everyone in South Park. And it was hilarious. I think, but you know, it wasn't so much just the cutouts, but it was like maybe I think more like the fan-inspired ones, and they all revolved around Randy. One was being escorted out of the stadium by Bob Brady, and I mean every single one that I saw that was actually pretty funny was it involved Randy doing something stupid, and it just seemed to fit. But at least it's good to see something, you know, from the creative side going out. I know the COVID special will be hitting or has hit. I got to remember my dates, and I'm excited to see that. Simpsons is back. And Archer's in full swing. So we're finally getting some decent shows returning for something to watch. Because there's not that many episodes left of Lovecraft Country and The Boys. I think Lovecraft Country, after this week's episode, only has three left. And I have no idea where this show is going. Lovecraft Country has been absolutely bonkers. I'm just like what the hell? I honestly do not know. It's like they're taking every H.P. Lovecraft novel and trying to cram it into a show and string them all together, spaghetti western style. The effects and everything from a storytelling standpoint has been interesting. I mean, that's the best word that I can come up with, because I've sat back and I've like disseminated everything that I've watched and just kind of like picked in over everything. But this week's episode was literally out there. So we'll see how this show series. I don't want to call it a series because it seems a little premature. I don't know if it's up for renewal. I don't know what HBO's stance is. I don't even know if, you know, the creators of the show can continue with it. So we'll see when the ratings hit and if it survives. Of course, The Boys so far has been just earth-shaking. I mean, it is so... Oh my God. So there's an argument that back in the day I used to have with a friend of mine, and he was on the standpoint that absolute power corrupts absolutely. And of course, me being kind of an optimist was firmly set against that, because I firmly believe that the foundation of a person's, you know, background and how they're raised and the values that your parents and the ones around you instill inside of you would stay constant. Even if you had the power of, say, Homelander, if you had a decent upbringing, would you be that big of a dick? Maybe? I don't know. I mean, I guess it depends if you how badly you were bullied as a child. But, man... I mean, when you look at the boys and just how shitty most of these characters have been, just, I mean, yikes. And this week is no different, and it just continues to get even more and more crazy, but it is so good. And again, it comes down to The Boys and Umbrella Academy. I can't stress that enough as far as just how engaging and for different aspects. The Umbrella Academy is so good on one hand, and for different reasons, so are The Boys. To compare them just because they're based on comic books is basically the only common ground these two shows share, because the message from the shows are entirely different. And as The Boys progress further into the mind of Garth Ennis, I can only imagine what we're in store for, because there's a lot of stories yet to come out. Season 3 is already, you know, full of a lot of strife, from what I can tell. If we're bringing in Soldier Boy and have read the comics, I know where this is going. I kind of know where this is going, but there's some great twists and turns, and I'm it has been a while since I've read the series. I mean, the series ended a number of years ago. And to say I haven't, you know, that I've revisited the comics since the series ended would be a lie. I've got too many other things to read. So when the series ended, that was kind of it for me. So maybe during the winter and the off season, I will revisit the books and go through them. I mean, the first 10, 12 issues are very fresh in my mind. But then after that, you know, they just kind of blur together and like, okay, when did this happen? When did that happen? It kind of almost comes close to Walking Dead. But Walking Dead was entirely different for me since I was reading the comics and then the collected editions when they came out, just to keep current with the story and what was going on, because it was so involving. The Boys was just... it was entirely different story. And the comic is just as gruesome and vivid as the show has been. In fact, I think the comic took more liberties than the show has in some regard. So we'll see how much more detailed the show gets. I know we can't be too much more longer. I'd say, I think October 8th is the final episode. And then it's, you know, we got to wait again. And it sucks. I don't really... These short seasons are driving me nuts. I want a decent length show. Damn it. I mean, I'm glad that there's no fluff or filler episodes, that's for sure. But all in all, The Boys has definitely gone where I never thought it would, especially with the invasion of the asylum this week, and oh my God, there's no dicking around with that. I mean, it was just right there in your face, carnage, and so worth watching. Absolutely staying with this show, and can't wait for season three now. We'll see how season two ends, but and if we do get Jeffrey Dean Morgan introduced into the show, I don't know where they would put him at this point, but sure. I mean, I guess there's room for everybody to play in the sandbox, but I don't know where they would put him. And I honestly think at this point, I think, and I hate to say this, Jeffrey Dean Morgan would be upstaged because you're coming in at halftime and expecting to play with some very well-established characters that fit and are gelling and working so well together. So that's my opinion. I could be wrong. Moving along, so the movies have definitely kind of, I don't know, fallen down. I mean, this week I was lucky because in place of going and seeing Kingsman, since that got delayed again, it was supposed to hit theaters this week, got to see Empire in theaters once again, which I haven't seen for quite a number of years, actually. But I got to sport the Stormtrooper kicks and to go watch, I think it was, they say, the 40th anniversary for Star Wars? Can that be right? I guess so. 40th anniversary for Empire Strikes Back. For when it hit theaters, it was fun. Nothing beats seeing the Millennium Falcon on the big screen. Although I don't think the volume was kicked up appropriately, because I remember the Falcon being louder. But just to see, and it wasn't the original, it was the extended director's edition, the anniversary one that they did back in the early aughts, where they added, you know, all of the background to Cloud City, which was, you know, it was just a white hallway as you're running around. Of course, now the updated version has, you know, all of the Cloud City landscaping out the windows that you can see. I mean, it's pretty. I don't know if it means any. I mean, it's just one of those little touches that I know Lucas likes, and it just adds more to the city and the depth of everything. But it was a good time. Got to hang out with Zach and everybody to partake. And like I said, it's been so long since I've seen Empire in the theaters that it was fun. We enjoyed it. Totally worth it. But moving forward to what's going on, Marvel has basically pushed Black Widow out yet again, which I'm not surprised, which we've talked about multiple times. And I know we're going to see more dates change for Phase 4 as this goes on. Because Marvel released everything that was going on in their mind. Shang-Chi, The Legend of the Ten Rings, and The Eternals are also in this group of movies that have been pushed off as far as release dates. Because as it stands right now, they're saying Black Widow is going to be was moved from November 6th. Which we would have seen, you know, within a month, to May 7th of 2021. Shang-Chi, of course, is also now moved to July 9th of 2021, because he originally had that date of May 7th, which is now the Black Widow's. And the Eternals have moved from February 12th to November 21st of 2021. We'll see if they actually hold to this. Just only because I don't think we have seen the end of this. The same thing for Death of the Nile, or Death on the Nile, which I talked about a few podcasts ago, which was slated to hit October 23rd, has now moved to December 18th. So a perfect movie to see in the summer, or excuse me, summer, for the holiday months. I forget where I am. And also the James Bond film has been pushed a little bit further into December. We'll see if that's going to hold as well. The problem is, I think everybody has really been cautious and hesitant about going to the theaters. I know I think Tenet has been a hit. Other people have said it's not. based on, you know, the returns and the money. And of course, we've gone back and forth on this topic with Mulan going directly to video, and that's not generating the revenue that I think Disney was expecting it was going to. And I think that we're not there as we should be. And I don't think we need to have things directly released to video. Again, we've gone back and forth on this. And maybe I'm wrong, but I unfortunately am not the only one to, you know, drive the dollar, as people would say. The numbers for... Does it say... it doesn't say what the revenue has been on Mulan. I know it's changed. Disney is kind of back and forth on whether or not, you know, it's a hit, what they saw from subscriptions and all of that. So it's very kind of convoluted. So I don't know. We'll see. If we get any more information from Disney and numbers. But that's what's going to come down to. If people are willing to go to the theater and see these. I think this is what Marvel needs to do. I think the time away is exactly what they need. I think everyone is still feeling Infinity Gauntlet and Infinity War and Thanos. And I think everyone's just having a nice big sigh of relief and a breather. I think we've been comic book movied out, and maybe we'll get some decent closure in a new chapter with Black Widow. I'm actually kind of upset. I want to see Black Widow, not only because of David Harbour is in it, but Taskmaster, who I absolutely adore as a character, is finally getting an appearance, who I thought he should have been Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., who I've been waiting for to show up. Finally gonna get him. And it fits. It works. And I should have known that Marvel wouldn't leave Taskmaster out. So, huzzah! And speaking of James Bond, this has been going back and forth, and I'm curious to see how this story is going to end. Because I know we talked about this back... Because this story has actually been going on since 2016. So, I mean, we've talked about this a couple of times. But with James Bond and Daniel Craig is, you know, was calling it quits. And he said, Daniel Craig said he was done. But then I think he realized, yeah, I need a paycheck and no one's given me any major roles. I mean, his last movie, Knives Out, was cool. I liked his character. I love Daniel Craig. I think he's a spectacular actor. He's definitely done things with Bond that I don't think other actors would have been capable of, just because of the physical side and just the portrayal that Craig has put forward has definitely put Bond into a new light. I'm a huge Ian Fleming fan. I love the novels. And I just think the novels are definitely different than the films have been over the years, but it's just so much fun in my mind to just see a Bond film, the gadgets, the toys, the spy, the intrigue. I know it has borderlined, I don't even think it's borderline ridiculous. I know it full well has just jumped into ridiculous because, well, the less you say about Moonraker, probably the better. But there have been some quality villains. There have been some great story arcs. And Daniel Craig's Bond has definitely been more firmly rooted into reality and the laws of physics than previous Bonds have been. Now, that said, with the final version waiting to hit theaters, because it keeps getting pushed off, I think that we'll see if it actually happens this year. I'm thinking it may. I want to say it's gonna. It'll get pushed off. I hate to say that, but once it airs, there comes out, then we'll probably get the official word that Craig is retiring, and No Time to Die will be Craig's swan song for the franchise, which is fine. You only can stay so long. Now, back and forth has gone on, because originally I thought Tom Hardy was being eyed for the role of Bond, and everything kind of pointed to that. But now, in an interesting conversation that Henry Cavill had, he was asked the question of taking on the role of Bond, and he was basically more than excited to take it. He basically said, of course, anything at this point is possible, but he was very, very excited about the chance, the mention that he's even being considered. And I have to admit, I'm back and forth, because I don't know if necessarily Tom Hardy is the best choice for the next Bond, having seen him in Venom and, you know, a lot of his other roles. There still needs to be kind of like that suave side, you know, the smooth spy side. And I don't know if Tom Hardy has that. And I unfortunately don't have read that. I haven't bounced this offer because I know her love for Hardy. And I don't remember what her comment was when we talked about this, you know, a year ago, of whether or not she'd be excited to see Tom Hardy as Bond. But Cavill, and here's my concern. This is where I get worried. Because you've got Henry Cavill, who, of course, you know, he's hot. Everybody is wanting him. And overuse, oversaturation, that's my concern. I mean, he's going to be Superman. Great. I can't wait to get him in some more Justice League or just have him make appearances. Of course, we've talked about him throwing down with Black Adam and all of the cool things that are potentially available in upcoming films. And, of course, The Witcher. And, of course, everything else that he's going on. I wouldn't mind a revisit to The Man from U.N.C.L.E. and a sequel to that film. Because he was... And that's probably why he is being eyed for James Bond, is because the performance he delivers in that is seamless. I mean, that what he puts forth is... Oh, if you have not seen this Guy Ritchie film, and of course it does have like some very strong Guy Ritchie elements with the dialogue and the intrigue and the intricacies that Guy puts into his films, this is the perfect depiction for The Man from U.N.C.L.E. If you have not watched this, I'm sure it's streaming somewhere. Rent it, buy it. You need to watch this, because this will actually maybe even help me. Watch it. Give me your input. I would love to hear if you think Cavill is the better choice for James Bond, or is it Tom Hardy? Am I completely off on this? Because I think, as much as I want Cavill to take the role, I think it would be a mistake, just because he's going to just get overused, and you start getting overlap and conflicts and all that. But I don't think Tom Hardy's the answer either. I honestly don't know who to put in as a Bond character. Who plays him? Who's out there that can do it? I mean, Pierce Brosnan, of course, in my mind was a perfect fit. He should have had it sooner. I've never really been a big fan of the Timothy Dalton Bond. Of course, nobody compares to Connery, and in Roger Moore, you know, tongue in cheek, he was fun, he was cool. You can't beat Roger Moore. So that said, who should be Bond? Tell me, let me know, because I'm curious. Because even I'm at this point scratching my head trying to figure out who would be the best fit, because I don't have it. In other streaming news, this kind of just caught my eye, because I'm it grates on me at the same point as I'm excited. So the story is basically Neil Gaiman announces filming start with sneak peek at the first script for Sandman. The film is basically Netflix's new adaptation for the comic book series, and Gaiman was basically kind of just teasing what is going on, and I don't know. The problem... Okay, so I bounce back and forth. So since April, due to COVID, the show was basically kind of just put in limbo until everyone can kind of figure out when and where and what's going to happen with filming. So That said, Gaiman's just kind of saying filming has begun again, and we don't have really dates. But the, I don't know. The more I read about this, because I love the Sandman, I love the first story arc. The Sam Keith art is, it depicts Sandman as an absolute dream. I mean, it is, it fits it so well. The story is just brilliant. It is so well done and so well crafted. And of course, from those pages are being pulled directly to the first season. So it looks like everything is being adapted directly from that first story arc, as it should be. The Fawny Rig, which is what they encase the Sandman in, they keep Morpheus basically just locked up. And I think, what is it, 70? Is it 75 years or something? Basically, he's captured and he's imprisoned for, you know, 75 years, and he finally escapes his imprisonment, and he's got this rig that basically tied up. I say, I don't want to give away too much. So basically, let's just look at it this way. The first story arc, it looks like it is being adapted directly from the comic to the show for Netflix. Here's my issue. Issues. Talk about spreading yourself too thin. As much as I want to see Sandman come to Netflix as a show, and whether or not it'll be successful, because the ones that I thought would be successful, October Friction, failed miserably. Lock and Key, huge hit. We will see a second season, but, you know, it's still kind of touch and go when a show comes to Netflix or the streaming services. Case in point, I'm worried. Actually, my expectation for American Gods, and this is where I'm kind of going back and forth of, okay, I thought Gaiman was working on American Gods, trying to fix that train wreck of a show, get that back on point. Of course, Good Omens, which he was also part of, turned out just great. I mean, that show, and I'm glad they didn't do a sequel to it. It's a standalone. It's a great series, and it is the living embodiment of the work that him and Terry Pratchett put together. Of course, there are some things that they left out from the characters for the book, from the show, which only makes sense. But what we got for a show was way beyond what I was expecting, and I mean, it wasn't some, it wasn't low budget bubble wrap monsters. It was, you know, some decent CG. The story, the humor, Michael Sheen was perfect. Tenet, absolutely plugged in, and it was the right mix of everything. There was no flaw in my mind of that show. Now, think about what I said of that show. Yes, that show. Now, American Gods, which should be a no-brainer, which should be easy, and it is just a freaking steaming dumpster fire of nonsense that I look at and just scratch my head like, why did you let this go so far south of anything resembling the book, anything resembling the characters? I don't know if it's the TV execs. I don't know, because Gaiman is supposed to be in the writing room with this, and I don't know if he thought he would take certain liberties since he's on TV. I know some things may or may not translate. We'll start doing this, and then, oh, halfway through the show, we're like, no, that, we don't want to do that anymore. There were some great elements to it, but I don't know. Too many people wanting to be involved, the trouble on the set, all of the stars decided to dump and get out. Whatever, I don't know, but I mean, and we're supposed to get a season 3 of American Gods? I don't even know if I am interested in a season 3 of American Gods, because season 2 left me just so lurchy. I don't know. Anyway. And whatever the casting problems, Orlando Jones is gone, which I think as a Nazi was a perfect fit, and to lose him I think is a really bad idea. So now Gaiman is now doing, you know, the script and the writing for Sandman with Netflix. And I don't know if I know he wrote the book. I know he wrote the comic series. But he's kind of like, you know, he's not batting 100 in my book right now. I mean, he's at best 50%. So we'll see what happens. I'm really optimistic about this because I just want this to succeed so well. I love Morpheus. I love the Sandman series. And it, the potential for this to be more than a one season shot. And of course, there, Gaiman in his interview does say he wrote it with the intent of it going on past season one, but of course that relies on Netflix giving it the green light, and maybe it will. Maybe this will be the replacement for Stranger Things that everyone is worried and looking for, and I can understand that. There are an unlimited amount of characters that you could bring in through the Sandman. Of course, Death being like the big focal point that everyone is like, ooh, Cain and Abel, which are hilarious. I really do love their depiction in the comic. So I'm really, there are some characters that I'm excited to see that I never honestly thought in a million years would ever turn into a TV show. So fingers crossed. Hopefully this one turns out better than his last, well, just better than American Gods. Yeah. Also, speaking of TV shows, news, and I don't understand. I was looking at this and I was trying to find out if it's only Canada, but this actually came out of David Tennant, that season 3 of DuckTales is resuming on the Disney Channel. I guess the Disney Channel, Sunday, October 4th is going to be the new season of DuckTales. And I'm like, yeah, I can't actually wait. The show has been very entertaining, much more entertaining than I thought it was going to be. Because I was back and forth. I'm still back and forth on Huey, Dewey, and Louie. I'm not completely sold on them. But all in all, it has been fun to just kind of revisit, and David Tennant as Scrooge McDuck absolutely cracks me up, and it really, it's entertaining. Now, when this shows up on Disney Plus, it's probably at least 6 months or so out before we even see it on Disney Plus, especially if it's on the Disney Channel, but with them saying in Canada, I'm hoping that it will be here. I don't know. The title of the episode is Mysterious Magic Thief, and we get what's her name, Magica Dispel, who of course is Doctor Who alum Catherine Tate, Donna, and of course all of the other characters. Everyone signed back up, which is not surprising. It's a great show. It's fun. Anyway, if you got kids or you're a total DuckTales fan, I guess check out your listings and see if you can DVR it October 4th, Sunday. They're saying 6:30 p.m., but they're not saying what time zone. So that could be Eastern Standard, Canadian time. Check it out. I couldn't find a listing on mine, but that may be just because it just hasn't updated. I don't know. What else? Oh, something that caught my eye. And it's so far away, it feels, for me, anyway, was with the change of dates and everything going on, that it won't be until October 2021 that we see G.I. Joe Origins Snake Eyes, starring Harry Golding as the Man in Black himself. I'm really, really, as a fan, just the kid inside of me is jumping up and down with eager excitement, because who doesn't love Snake Eyes from the G.I. Joe franchise? I mean, come on. He's a ninja. And, of course, this was, like, perfect back in the day when Snake Eyes hit, because that was, like, the ninja craze. Enter the Ninja, Revenge of the Ninja. There were so many great ninja movies. I think one, the disc hit Netflix. It was, like, the Five Element Ninjas. I've got it in my queue. Can't wait to watch it. I'm saving it for like the first like super cold day so I can just sit and just totally geek out on that one. So, what else? In video game news, there wasn't too much going on in the video game industry this week. But the one thing that did catch my eye was the Xbox story about the Series X console that's coming out. It looks like the storage, because they're boasting a 1 terabyte storage. Evidently, all of that is not going to be usable memory. From what I was able to discern from the article, you're going to be kind of upset because only 802 gigabytes of the 1 terabyte drive is going to be actual storage that's available for the console. You're going to have to look towards other external sources to help back up. And as the game sizes are getting larger, this is kind of a tender point for a lot of gamers. Now, using an external source is fine. I've got it on my Xbox right now, and that's fine. But unfortunately, with the new console, the games do need to be loaded directly onto the console to help with the encoding and gameplay as far as no lag and everything else that's involved with this. So I'm kind of a little put off on this the more and more that I read. I mean, the system is due to arrive November 10th, and I know everyone is going crazy with the pre-orders for the Series X. I know the Series X is going for $499, which is kind of like the standard price, it seems, these days. And the Series S, which has got the smaller storage capacity of, you know, a $299 price tag. Will this work well for gamers? I don't know. I'm still so back and forth on whether or not I want to dive into another console, but to spend that kind of money and still not be, that's the whole point. My external drive is a full terabyte, and I can bounce back and forth, or I haven't had any problems with it, but if you need the game loaded directly onto the system, that just kind of, I mean, I get it. It's annoying as all hell, but I mean, if you're boasting a 1 terabyte memory and it's not, that seems kind of sketch, a little shady. So, nothing new when it comes to the video game world, to be honest with you. Yeah, so that kind of wraps this week. Like I said, there's stuff and there's not, but the geek world continues to move forward, and I will be here to help you with it. If you have any questions, comments, by all means, please send them to me. I'd be more than happy to answer them. Also, we do appreciate you sitting, listening. Please like, give us a share. Tell your friends about us. We're more than a podcast. We are a way of life. So in the meantime, run fast, laugh hard, and always be kind.